To the book of Matthew chapter 28, and then we'll just bring the morning message, Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to look down at verse number 1. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to put it on the vibrate or the mute position, that would be a blessing to each of us. And here's what it says in God's Word, Matthew 28 and verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began toward the first day of the week, that Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. One little boy said what the angel said when he rolled the stone back was, ta-da! I like that a lot. I think that's in the Hebrew or something. He rolled the stone back and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Father, bless this brief time we have today. Thank you for all we've sensed and felt. Thank you for the hope that we have today. It's not a fairy tale, it's real. And I pray that you'd open the eyes of some people who do not believe, whether they're here today in person or listening online. We just want to know what is true, what's the truth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The biggest crime in history was the crime of the crucifixion of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin, lived 30 sinless years, never sinned, never thought a filthy thought, never committed an unlawful deed, never said anything he shouldn't say. And at age 30, he announced to the crowd, I'm not just a carpenter, I'm God. He began healing blinded eyes, feeding the hungry, and turning fishermen into preachers. And everywhere he went, good things happened. I looked in the Bible one time to find out how would Jesus do a funeral. And I found out he messed up every funeral he ever came to. He would raise that person from the dead. Why? The Bible says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Nothing ever stayed dead around Jesus Christ, because that's who he is. The Bible said the religious leaders hated Jesus because he was growing more in popularity than them. And for envy, they wanted him dead. Judas, one of his disciples, betrayed him. That's why the name is disdained to this day. You'll never meet anyone named Judas. He betrayed Jesus, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. So the night Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's arrested. The mob comes, the soldiers come. Judas says, the one I kiss on the cheek, that's him. Jesus is arrested. Simon Peter takes his sword, swings. He thinks it's going to be a bloody battle. And one of the servants ducks, and Simon Peter cut his ear off. Stick to fishing, Simon Peter. You're not a cage fighter. And Jesus, though he's being arrested, picks up the ear, heals the man who's just had his ear cut off. What a savior. And Jesus said, let these go. Who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for this guy named Jesus. He speaks and says, I am he. And that's his Old Testament name, I am. So when Jesus said that, the soldiers flew backwards and landed on their backs. Just the power of Jesus saying his name. What a Savior. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. The Bible says they took him and a mock trial. They brought him to the religious leaders. They began accusing him, false accusers, and got people to lie and said, he said he'd rebuild, tear down the temple and rebuild it. And the high priest said, who are you? Are you really God? He said, thou sayest. And one day you'll see me sitting at the right hand of God. He said, you've blasphemed. And they said, he is worthy of death. They bring him to the soldiers. They begin spitting on him. They pluck his beard. They blindfold him. They beat his face. It was a mob mentality, much like a gang torture. They pulled the blindfold off. They took his clothes off, beat his back with a whip, a scourging, 361 lashes with a Roman whip. But we had a Savior who could take it. How come? He was taking our place. There was no place to quit, no room to give up, because he was taking that for us. The Bible says they brought him to Pilate, and Pilate says, are you a king? I have power to release you. Jesus said, you have no power except it was given you of my Father. The people began chanting, crucify him, crucify him. The Jews legally could not kill anyone because they were under the Roman jurisdiction, but Rome could. Finally, Pilate kowtowed to the mob mentality and said, here's your king, crucify him. You know the story, as he carried the cross up the hill, a man helps him, Simon of Cyrene helps carry the cross. His hands and feet are nailed to that cross. They put an accusation above his head that would always have the crimes indicated of the crucified one. It said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. They minimized his godliness, his deity, and they maximized his manhood. He was not just a man. He was not just a king. He was God, man, the King of all kings. He opened not his mouth. The Bible says that day on the cross, as he said, Father, forgive them. As he said, John, this is your mother. Take care of Mary. As he said, I thirst. As he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That day on the cross, God was taking the sins of the world. The greatest crime done to the greatest person. The cross is simply a mirror to reveal the actions and the heart of our depraved world. The sinless Son of God, they wanted him dead. What a terrible picture of our humanity. The Bible said that day on the cross, he paid it all. He took the sins, the past, present, future sins of any person who ever sinned. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've said. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. If you've broken any of God's commandments, Jesus loves you. And he wants you to go to heaven with him. The only thing that'll stop you from going to heaven is you. He has his arms open wide. He will accept you. And today, you could be saved and give your heart to Christ. He had temporary suffering. It was 6 hours, so we could have to prevent us from eternal suffering. The cross, everything before the cross points to it. Every event after the cross points back to it. It wasn't quick, neither is your suffering quick. Sometimes it's a process. God was paying for the sins of the world. Sometimes in our lives, he's trying to accomplish something through our suffering. Next time you're tempted to ask, God, why did you do this to me? Ask yourself, God, why did you do this for me? Sometimes you just can't answer the love of Christ. History's worst event happened to history's greatest person. The greatest crime is Jesus Christ being crucified. Crucified between two thieves. And I can't, what a strange story. They're murderers and thieves, and they're railing on him. Jesus is being spit upon. The cross is a foot off the ground. It's on a highway, so multitudes of people could come, spit upon the criminal, laugh at the criminal. The Bible said the mob sat down and watched him there. 6 hours they watched him. Why? He was different than any man who's ever existed. Not just a prophet, not just a human. He was God in human flesh. The greatest crime. But I want to talk about something positive this morning. The greatest event in human history is this. He didn't stay dead. He's alive today and he arose from the dead. Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Christ. All world's religions, you can visit the cemetery of their founder and leave flowers. You can visit them. Jesus' tomb, you can leave flowers, but he's not there. And his body's not there. He's not there at all. One country preacher said, on Easter Sunday, I'm preaching on, he done got up and went. I like that. A little boy was driving past the cemetery. They had dug a fresh grave. And the little boy didn't know. And as they drove by the cemetery, the little boy said, hey, Daddy, one of them got out. And I just want to remind you, one of them got out. I love it. In Sunday school years ago, Mrs. Brown, one of our teachers, she taught over 40 years. Our daughters were in her class. And our daughters came home. They said, look what Miss Brown gave us Easter Sunday. And in their hand was a Cheerio. You know what a Cheerio is. You know, it's a cereal. And I said, that's all she gave you? No chocolate bunny, no candy? No. Well, she gave us that too, but this is our lesson. I said, what is that? She said, hold it up. And look, it's the empty tomb. He's not here. He's risen as he said. A little Cheerio does look like a little portable empty tomb. So on the way out, you each get one Cheerio today, a gift from the generous pastor. How you like that? We could call today's message When Death Meets Death. We could call it When Darkness Meets Light. Millions travel to Israel today to view that empty tomb. The bully on the block of life got knocked out. We see in this story, we've only got just a few moments, there are three commands that the angel gives at the empty tomb. Here's the first one. He says, fear not. Fear not. You know, when you think about it, there's a lot to fear the older you get. How many folks are old? Slip your hand up. You're old. Slip your hand up. Some of you need to poke the person next to you and tell them to put their hand up. The greatest fear that's natural every human has is this, death. That's why we put on the seatbelts. Most people, I'm saying. That's why we put on the seatbelts. We don't go into dark alleys. We don't get around people we feel spooky around. How come? There's a natural fear of death. Death and what comes next. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back soon. All of us. I wrote down how people die. Car wrecks, heart attacks, strokes, pneumonia, COVID, diseases, Alzheimer's, aneurysm, accident, surgery, a violent act, Parkinson's. And we could go on and on and on. One of those is going to get you. You say, Pastor, I came to church to hear this. You're going to die one day. My doctor told me that a while back. He said, you know, if you'd like to know some news, you're going to die. I said, what? He said, one day. I said, I'm going to another doctor. And I did. A pastor was trying to comfort a family. He did a funeral, and the body of the guy that passed away was in the casket. He was trying to be comforted. He said, this is not really Fred. This is just his shell. The nut is gone. It just didn't come out very good. Someone wrote this little poem. It was on the gravestone. It said, beneath this sod and beneath these trees lays the body of Solomon Pease. This is not peas, it is only his pod. Pease has shelled out and gone home to God. I like that a lot. Heard the story about this fella. Some of you have heard it, some of you, maybe it's new. Late at night, he was seeing his girlfriend, so he took a shortcut. He was on foot, and he cut through a cemetery. Well, he was already kind of nervous. Somehow he didn't see an open grave ready for the funeral the next day. He tripped, fell into 6 feet down into an open grave. He screamed. He hollered. It's pitch black. And he jumped and he couldn't crawl out of that grave. He just wasn't strong enough. Finally, he huffed and puffed and waited at the end of the grave to be found the next morning. A little while later, another guy took the same shortcut through the cemetery. I don't know if he's dating the same girl or not, but he took the same shortcut, tripped, fell in the same grave in the other end of the grave, kicked, hollered, screamed, terrified. Finally, he just waited till morning. Neither fella saw each other. It's pitch black. Finally, the first guy spoke up and said, "Hey, man, you can't get out of here." But he did. You'll get that about midnight tonight. That will really keep you up. Fear not. There's life after death. This is not all there is. This is not looking at a loved one saying, "Goodbye, it'll be me pretty soon." It's more to it. I'm glad I can look at loved ones and say, "See you later. See you later." Fear not. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm not looking forward to my wife dating and marrying a nicer guy. I'm not looking forward to any of that stuff. But I know this, we don't have to fear. If you were taking a walk through the woods and you got lost, and you came to a fork in the road, and there's a living man standing there, and a dead corpse laying there, who are you going to ask for directions? I tell you what, I'm going to ask the living Savior the directions to heaven, not someone who can't conquer the grave. We have a living Savior today. He says, "Fear not." Number two, he says this, "Come see." Come see. What is the evidence that Jesus has risen from the dead? I want to give them to you quickly. It tells us it's not a works salvation. There's so many churches, and here's what they'll tell you. You got to do this and do this and do this and do this. If you do enough good things, you earn your way to heaven. Well, if that's true, why would Jesus ever have to die the death that he died? There was no other way. He was the only way to heaven. It's only through the death. Someone had to pay for our sins. We pay for them in hell forever. Or the sinless, perfect Son of God takes our place, becomes our substitute. It's not a work salvation. Come see. What's the evidence? They were not able to find a corpse. 11 fishermen against Rome. They couldn't find his corpse. No proof. We also have the psychological change in the disciples. The night Jesus is arrested, they all ran. They scrammed. 3 days after he rose from the dead, they saw him. Guess what they're doing now? They're preaching in public. They're going to prison. They're being beaten. They're being martyred. They're being thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. But something happened to the disciples. There's not that fear anymore because they know he's alive. I want to give you another evidence. Come see. Why is Jesus the one that's cursed? I was in a grocery store a while back. Someone said, "Jesus Christ." They're looking at the egg prices or something. Why didn't they say, "Adolf Hitler"? It's odd, isn't it? Why do they curse a dead man? I've never been to a cemetery and seen a group of people around the grave spit, 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 and cursing a dead guy. Why would they do that? He's not dead. He is alive. He is alive. Here's another one. We don't worship on Saturday now. We worship on Sunday. The Jews always worshiped on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, Saturday. All of a sudden, after Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week, Sunday, the disciples started meeting. That's when he appeared to them, Sunday morning, Sunday night. So all of a sudden, the disciples are meeting every Sunday. that changed in history. Come see. He appeared to over 500 eyewitnesses at once. Takes two eyewitnesses to convict someone of murder. 500 said, "We saw him." The disciples said, "We saw him." His words are despised. Can't quote this in some institutions. Can't carry this certain places. You're bothering me. You're hurting my right. What is it about that man? What is it about his words? It's something special. Jesus said, "They hated me without a cause." Not only that, but this too. Why would the disciples promote Christianity and risk their lives if it were a lie? The Jews were going to kill them if they said Jesus rose again. The Romans were going to kill them if they didn't give homage to Caesar and they gave it to Jesus. Why would they do that over a lie? It wasn't a lie. It was the truth. And then the last command he says is this. He said, "Go tell." He said, "Fear not." Then he says, "Come see the evidence." And then he says, "Go tell." Go tell what? There is a heaven. That one that rose from the dead said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." See, today, it's not just about the resurrection of Christ. For many of us that are getting older, it's a loved one that's going to heaven. It's a loved one we can't wait to see again. I got a daddy up there. I got a mother up there. She's been there 2 years. My dad's been there 9 years. I bet they hadn't had an argument since. I bet mom's not corrected him one time since. They're in perfect bodies. There's no temptation. There's no locks on the mansions. There's no police cars needed to patrol. There's no tears. There's no allergies. There's no disappointments. There's no Alzheimer's units. There's no retirement homes. There's no cemeteries. No funeral directors. There's none of that stuff. There's no old age cream. There's no Grecian formula. There's no hair dye needed. Some of you ladies up in heaven, we're not going to know who you are. I'm just being honest. Back to the natural hair color. Woo! Go tell what? He's alive. Go tell what? He can put life into anything that's dying. Go tell what? Sunday's his day. Use it to celebrate him. Go tell what? There's reunions. This week, I'll be doing a funeral for a family that's here. Over 500 times, we've said something at funerals. There's a lot of people up there waiting on us. You know what they're doing? They're saying, "Don't miss it. It's real." I wish the preacher would have preached more on heaven. It's real. Don't miss it. It's real. We've seen Jesus. We've seen him. It's real. You say, "Well, Pastor, I just can't believe in something I can't see." All right. You've seen Pluto? You've seen an electron? You've seen the valves of a heart? You ever seen your lungs? You ever seen your liver? Okay. You ever seen the pastor preach a short sermon? It's a lot of things you never see. Go tell what? He loves sinners. Go tell what? He'll take backsliders back. Maybe you're here and you accepted Jesus many years ago and you've just drifted. Been out of touch with him, hadn't been close, hadn't been in this book, hadn't been... Guess what he says? He said, "Tell the disciples and Peter, I'll be in Galilee." What did he say? "Hey, Peter, you cussed. Hey, Peter, you denied you knew me. Hey, I'll take you back. Hey, I still love you." Nothing changes his love. Easter Sunday could be the day that someone in this room accepts Christ as their Savior. You know, that thief on the cross, I think of him. Here he is. They take him out of prison. They crucify him. He's going to burn in hell. He's murdered. He's a thief. He doesn't believe in Jesus. 6 hours later, all of a sudden, he's thinking, "It's true. It's real. I want it. Today, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus says, "Today, you'll be with me in heaven." He went from a sinner on his way to hell to a saint on his way to heaven. He never knew it. Maybe you left your house today and you thought, man, I'm just coming to church. I'm making an appearance. I'm coming with a friend. And you never knew. Today is the day Jesus Christ could change your entire eternity and life and direction and give you something worth living for. He can do that. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Jesus, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Savior, for he's my greatest friend. Whatever your need is today, it's Jesus. If he can conquer death, he can conquer your addiction. He can conquer a sour marriage. He can conquer and mend a broken heart. He can remove confusion. He can be the friend that sticks closer than a brother to the lonely. Whatever it is you're needing, it's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He loves you, period, just as you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He's in the remodeling business. You let him in, he starts changing stuff for the better. For the better. I close with this. Our family was an unsafe family. We didn't go to church. My dad claimed to be an atheist. My mother was just a country girl. We grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My dad was a sharecropper way, way, way back. Long story. My dad drank a fifth of whiskey every day. Had a real dark side. No relationship with my daddy. He'd show up every once in a while. He wasn't home much. One day, someone invited our family to church. We heard about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. Daddy didn't go. My mama got saved. My brother got saved and I got saved. We accepted Christ. 4 years later, my daddy called the pastor on the phone and said, whatever my wife has, I want it. And he met the pastor at the office, knelt down by the pastor's desk, and his hot tears fell on that wood floor. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Does that risen Savior change anybody? That day, my daddy came home from the pastor's office and said, turn the TV off. We're reading the Bible tonight. Who's this? Who are you? My daddy got baptized the next week. His last mafia payoff. He bought the first 3 church buses. The mafia started the bus ministry in the state of Louisiana. Only God can do that. He has something great for you today. In a moment, I'm going to pray just about the prayer our family prayed when Jesus came into our hearts. What do you have to know to give your heart to Christ, Pastor? I'm a sinner. I can do nothing to save myself. Jesus did it all. Then you invite him in. It's a gift. It's not works. It's a gift you must individually receive. He won't come in until you open the door and invite him. If you've never done that before, today, Jesus will save you. You die without Christ, it's eternity in hell. You die with Jesus Christ, it's eternity in heaven.